come together.
Thanks for listening to the KC Morning Show.
Burn it all. Come together for the middle class, for the young unemployed. Yo! Corporate America destroyed this country.
The wealthy have grown while our children go hungry.
Today we say, raise minimum wage. We have the guts to take this campaign. This great nation belongs to us. And let me tell you something.
Enough is enough.
Burn it all. Come together for the middle class, for the young unemployed. Turn it off. Come together.
Come on.
Yo! Bring the noise.
Banks.
How can you go?
CEOs, the wealthy have grown.
Read. How can you go?
The rich, 1%.
I oppose.
And the cocktail parties are not real America.
We have an agenda to bring people together.
The millionaires.
Millionaires.
The top 1%.
We've got a
national debt.
Whoa!
Here we go again.
Burn it off. Come together for the middle class. For the young unemployed. Turn it off.
Oh my goodness.
Yo! Bring the noise.
Produced in China. Doesn't matter to you. Offshore industry jobs. Doesn't matter to you.
Do.
Billionaire tax breaks. Matter to you.
Income inequality. The great moral issue.
The country club's way out of touch.
Let me tell you something.
Enough is enough.
Burn it all. Come together for the middle class. For the young unemployed. Turn it off.
Yeah,
come on. Yo! Bring the noise. That is what this campaign is about.
Everything's running smoothly.
Yo, what is going on, Kansas City? My name's Hartzell, and this right here, it is your KC Morning Show. Tuesdays, we reclaim that radical history of America. Myself and Professor Harvey J.K., he is the Professor Emeritus over at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. What we are going to do today, my friends, we're going to take it back to August. We were in Chicago. Hey, Chicago. It was Progressive Central 2024. I am one of the co-chairs for Young Progressive Democrats of America, our parent org, Progressive Democrats of America, The Nation Magazine, and also the Arab American Institute. We put on Progressive Central 2024. It was the single biggest gathering of progressives to ever assemble during the DNC week. We had chair of the Progressive Caucus, Pramila Jayapal. We had Congressman Ro Khanna. We had Sunita Jackson, daughter of Reverend Jesse Jackson. We got Bernie to headline the thing. It was excellent. So we're going to play back my intro and Professor Harvey J.K.'s speech from Progressive Central 2024. And it is very timely. Yeah, we need this now. Yeah, we do. And by the way, I have to mention this. Professor Harvey K., obviously one of the best authors that I've ever met. He is now also a comic book author. Over the summer, he linked up with The Letter Hack. If you are familiar with him or his YouTube channel, an incredible artist, radical, progressive artist. So they linked up for a comic book on the 21st Century Economic Bill of Rights. It is published. I will drop a link in the show notes. Check it out. And I already told Professor K, the sequel better include me as a character or else we're gonna have some conversations. I am too pretty not to be in cartoon form. Back in your feeds tomorrow, my friends, it is a good day to be a Kansas Cityan. Absolutely. We will see you in the morning.
I am black, beautiful, proud.
On January 11, 1970, victory belonged to Hank Stram and his Kansas City Chiefs.
TV9 News Special Report, close up the flood of 77.
From the Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri, it's Milwaukee Bucks against the Kansas City Kings.
Now Kansas Cityans must decide what happens next. What is to follow the city's Holy Week riots?
I am here at the American Royal World Series of Barbecue.
Daryl Motley awaits, and the Kansas City Royals are world champions.
Robert H. Jackson, in an address to the National Lawyers Guild, it was 1936 or 7, one of FDR's poet laureates, and he gave this address. He said that we too are founders. Let's say that part again. We too are founders. We too are makers of a nation, called upon to protect, defend, and make live new bills of rights. That is what it means to be a progressive, to make live new bills of rights. Maybe make live those bills of rights for the 21st century, huh, Harvey K? Professor Harvey J. K., he has also served as political and historical advisor to Norman Lear, Senator Nina Turner, and Marianne Williamson. He is a co-author with Alan Minsky of the 21st Century Economic Bill of Rights. Most important, he is my friend, my dear brother, the great Harvey J. K. Make some noise, Chicago!
Why the you-know-what don't we have these rights already? Have a look at those rights that are not yet recognized as rights. A useful job that pays a living wage. By the way, if you want, you can applaud each one. A voice in the workplace through a union and collective bargaining. Comprehensive quality health care. Complete cost-free public education and access to broadband internet. Decent, safe, affordable housing. A clean environment and a healthy planet. A meaningful endowment of resources at birth and a secure retirement. Sound banking and financial services. An equitable and economically fair justice system. Recreation, the right to recreation and participation in civic and democratic life. Now, first I have to tell you, I meant to mention this before. Hartzell is the host, as you may have heard, of the KC Morning Show. And every Tuesday over the course of more than 2 years, we worked our way through the great words of American radicals and progressives from Thomas Paine through to A. Philip Randolph, called the Take Back America. Watch out for the KC Morning Show, okay? On the left, that comic image is from a just-posted comic strip at Common Dreams that Matt Strackbein, a.k.a. the Letter Hack, asked me to do in collaboration with him on the new Economic Bill of Rights. It tells the story that I'll give you a taste of here, and it ultimately makes the case for how we can secure them in light of the current surge of labor and the energy in the progressive movement. So look, we all know we've endured 50 years of, let's call it what it is, class war from above. Conservative, corporate, and neoliberal campaigns against the democratic achievements of the 1930s through the early 1970s. These are class and culture war campaigns that have stripped workers, women, and people of color of their hard-won rights, engendered unprecedented concentrations of wealth. Look, we used to talk about this being a second Gilded Age. I think we're actually going to top the first Gilded Age in the inequalities that prevail. Moreover, it has devastated the lives of millions, and American democratic life is in jeopardy. We know the threat, if we do not win in November, is the F word, fascism. But let's be clear about it. This is the irony. The crisis we face is not one of spirit. The great majority of Americans continue to avidly support democracy. But as Franklin Roosevelt warned, popular support is not enough. In 1938, he said, fascism and communism and old line Tory republicanism are not threats to the continuation of our form of government. But I venture the challenging statement, he said, that if American democracy ceases to move forward as a living force, seeking day and night by peaceful means to better the lot of our citizens, then fascism and communism, aided perhaps by old-line Tory republicanism, will grow in strength in our land. Those words hit home, don't they? That's where we are, folks. Communism is moribund, fascism is resurgent. So what are we going to do? We have a fresh Democratic Party ticket. But where, we ask, is the vision to inspire and propel our energies and actions? Where is the vision to not only win in November, but also to truly rescue democracy? I'm going to tell you, it's right in front of us. It's in our history, and it's in our deepest yearnings. And it's time to make them manifest. We must start by remembering what Republicans don't want us to remember, and what all too many Democrats seem to have forgotten or had joined in obscuring. We should remember how, for all of their faults and failings, a president and a generation saved the United States from the Great Depression and fascism, and turned it into the strongest and most prosperous country on earth, not simply by taking up the labors and struggles of the New Deal and the war effort, but at the very same time, by making the United States progressively, if not radically, freer, more equal, and more democratic than ever before. We forget this. We're taught to forget this. In the 30s and the early 40s, America was radicalized from the White House and from the grassroots. FDR himself, 2 years before he ran in 32 for the presidency, said, wrote this to a very dear friend, the foremost figure on questions of social welfare in America, "There is no question in my mind that it is time for the country to become fairly radical for at least one generation." What'd they do? In his 1932 New Deal campaign, FDR promised a vast array of progressive policies and initiatives to rebuild the nation and Americans themselves, assure greater economic security and opportunities, and finally bring an end to the persistent Gilded Age power structure that had brought about the worst economic and social catastrophe in American history. But here's the thing. Americans did more than enlist in the labors of the New Deal. They pushed FDR to go even further than he ever planned to go, and together they initiated, let's call it what happened, revolutionary changes. Listen to this. When I read through this, because I've been doing it for so long, I think, well, of course everybody knows this, but think about it. They subjected capital to public account and regulation. They empowered government to address the needs of working people and the poor. They organized labor unions, consumer campaigns, and civil rights organizations to fight for their rights. They established a social security system. They built schools, libraries, post offices, parks, and playgrounds. They expanded the nation's public infrastructure with new roads, new bridges, new tunnels, and new dams. They improved the American landscape and environment, and they energetically cultivated the arts and refashioned popular culture. Just think swing music. Yeah, they left a lot undone, especially regarding racial justice and inequality. But in all their diversity, they imbued themselves with fresh democratic convictions, hopes, and aspirations. And when the second crisis struck, they did not stop. Inspired by FDR's words about the four freedoms, freedom of speech and worship, freedom from want and fear, they not only went all out to beat fucking fascism, they also subjected the economy to even greater public control, continued to expand the labor, consumer, and civil rights movements, further reduced poverty and inequality from the bottom up, and continued to broaden the we in we the people. Moreover, polling showed that in doing so, they became ever more determined to keep moving the country in a social democratic direction at war's end. Consider this. In 1943, the White House commissioned polls. They asked Americans, "What do you want after the war?" The pollsters out of Princeton University summed it up as saying, "Americans want everything." And the best example I can give you is this. Nearly 85% of Americans in 1943 and 44 made it clear that they wanted guaranteed health care. 95% of Democrats and 75% of Republicans. And I'm going to tell you something which nobody tells you. No time since World War II have fewer than 50% of Americans not wanted national universal health care. Okay? Never, not once in those years. Those surging aspirations gave FDR the confidence to declare this in his 1944 State of the Union message. How many of you knew this is the 80th anniversary of that message? Why do you not know? Because the media didn't tell you, and no offense to my colleague up here, the Democrats don't tell you either, okay? Forget the Republicans. We have come to a clear realization of the fact that true individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence, Roosevelt said. Necessitous men are not free men. We have accepted, so to speak, a second Bill of Rights under which a new basis of security and prosperity can be established for all, regardless of station, race, or creed. And I just want to show you how informed I am. My colleague, Representative Ro Khanna, in his book on technology, does refer to the economic Bill of Rights. Applaud him. FDR then called for creating nothing less than an economic Bill of Rights to guarantee to all Americans, how's this for starters, a useful job and a living wage, universal health care, education, food security, a decent home, and opportunities for recreation. In the original draft, it said recreation and adventure. Almost immediately, now this is the key thing to remember, after that, almost immediately, both the AFL and the CIO, which were separate during those years, those federations together, along with the National Farmers Union, civil rights groups who were growing tremendously during the war, and a new National Citizens Political Action Committee with all the big celebrities lined up, launched major campaigns to promote the idea and help FDR secure re-election that year. Roosevelt knew it would not be easy going ahead. And with corporate bosses, this is the interesting thing, when I read this, he wasn't even thinking of the real fascists that we think of in America, you know, the Klan and those folks. He was thinking about the corporate bosses. He said this as a national State of the Union message. He said, we must beware of rightist reaction. And then he predicted this, which we should heed. Hell, we're in the middle of it. If such reaction should develop, if history were to repeat itself and we were to return to the so-called normalcy of the 1920s, hell, if the Republicans win, we're going to go back to the normalcy of the 1830s, 40s, and 50s. Then, he said, it is certain that even though we shall have conquered our enemies on the battlefields abroad, we shall have yielded to the spirit of fascism here at home. You don't know if you should applaud or vomit, right? FDR won re-election, but he passed away that spring. But the idea did not die. It informed the GI Bill of Rights. It propelled the Truman administration to try to secure national health care in the late 40s. It led the Democratic Party to organize its 1960 platform referendum. I have yet to meet, again, I've not spoken to Roe about this, I have yet to meet a single Democratic Party member who can tell me how the 60 Democratic Party platform was written. The man who wrote it was Chester Bowles. He headed the Office of Price Administration under FDR during World War II. Went around the country, and what did he discover? That everyone really wanted to start moving in favor of an economic Bill of Rights. They literally built that platform. The only thing they were worried about is would Kennedy accept it? Kennedy was no liberal, by the way. I mean, Eleanor Roosevelt wasn't even sure she would endorse him. The point was, the Democratic Party created a platform in 60 with that. Now, on top of that, the surprise to everyone, at least when I was a teenager, was that Lyndon Johnson launched, in the spirit of those economic Bill of Rights ideas, the Great Society and the War on Poverty, including programs like Medicare and Medicaid. And thereafter, it inspired labor and civil rights leader A. Philip Randolph to advance a freedom budget for all Americans, specifically said to achieve freedom from want, a plan endorsed by 150 of the most prominent academic, foundation, labor, and religious leaders in America. And it moved the Reverend Martin Luther King, not long before his assassination, to echo FDR and call for an economic bill of rights in early 1968. Now, you can imagine the fear that prevailed in the corporate bosses' minds. Fearing that persistent vision and the possibility of further democratic achievements, the corporate elite declared war on the working class in the 1970s. And the corporate bosses did a hell of a job pursuing it, hell being the operative word. The next time we heard political talk of an economic bill of rights was not until Bernie Sanders' presidential campaigns of 2016 and especially 2020. There was a real gap in time. The idea hadn't gone away. The Democrats went neoliberal on us. True, most Americans do not remember that history, but polling has repeatedly shown that the great majority of us still aspire to secure the makings of an economic bill of rights. Recognizing that, Alan and I, in consultation with our dear friend Nina Turner, climbed up on FDR's shoulders and composed a new 21st century economic bill of rights, which we've seen here. And the response has been promising. I'm not going to detail all the things that have happened, but I can tell you this, because of what we've done, the Democratic parties of red state Massachusetts and, sorry, blue state Massachusetts, forgive me, Massachusetts, blue state Massachusetts and red state West Virginia, I'm still in the case reds means left, so it's hard for me to do that. Okay, both Massachusetts and West Virginia Democrats have officially embraced it, and in the case of West Virginia, they are going to fly it high on their platform. And if you happen to ever run into Troy Miller, he's the guy to thank. He and I worked hard, he more than I, in making that happen. Sadly, we do not have, here we are, back to today, we do not have a president who will call for overthrowing the power of the economic royalists, as FDR did, who will seek to empower and engage working people in transforming the prevailing political and economic order. Transforming, not cleaning it up. And who will issue a call for an economic bill of rights. But hey, we have a history to inspire us and the yearnings of our fellow citizens to encourage us. The time has come to do, you know, we all scorn our parents' generation. We all laughed at the idea of the greatest generation, not I, but so many did. The time has come to do what our parents and grandparents did. Save American democratic life by radically enhancing it. The time has come for our many progressive organizations. This is it. This is it. The time has come for our many progressive organizations and resurgent labor unions. I am a labor unionist. To create a grand coalition. A coalition that will seriously press the Democratic Party to redeem FDR's 44 call and join in rallying working people to fight for a 21st century economic bill of rights that will guarantee to all Americans what's right in front of you. Thanks.
Oh!
You're listening to the KC Morning Show.